You are listening to The Folk Tree here on Iowa Public Radio Studio One. And for those of you at home, I don't know if I sound any different than I did just a minute ago, but I'm actually in another room in our broadcast studios. And we're going to hear some live music from John Hogan and Maria Moss.
Sliding down the hillside, and the moon comes shining through the trees. As the shadows gather around, as I lay my body down, there's only one place that I long to be. In dreams I go back to my home, and in dreams I go back to my home. I can still hear the whippoorwills call softly on the breeze when in dreams I go back home. I see loved ones gone to eternity, and one I'm forever parted from. We hold hands and sing songs of forgiveness and praise, and dance once more, shining like the sun. In dreams I go back to my home, and in dreams I go back to my home. When in dreams I go back home. There the home place still stands, and the flowers still bloom, no mark or hint of sadness or of loss. In dreams and I return home, I'm comforted there. The angels remind me, though alone I'm not lost. In dreams I go back to my home, and in dreams I go back to my home. I can still softly on the breeze when in dreams I go back home. I can still hear the whippoorwills call softly on the breeze when in dreams I go back home.
John Hogan and Maria Moss performing live on Iowa Public Radio. And, well, welcome to the show. Is this your first time performing in Iowa?
It is. Yes, it is indeed. We drove up from Texas to perform a house concert and also to play a concert at a Mennonite meeting hall in Delft, Minnesota, and we have great thanks for Bruce Bolt and the Prairie Wind Folk and Bluegrass Association, which is a small nonprofit started by Bruce that brings singer-songwriters to this meeting hall in Delft outside of Windham. And it was just a wonderful experience. This is our first time playing in this part of the country.
All right. And you did a show in Chicago, too. And were there any others before that on the way up north?
Not on the way. We actually did not do the show in Chicago.
Oh.
We were delayed leaving Texas.
Oh, no.
It was
okay.
A short opening set. So we came
had to cancel that one, unfortunately. But.
Okay. All right. So that's the life of a wandering musician, I guess. You guys are based in Austin, Texas. How much time do you spend on the road? in a typical year, if there is such a thing as a typical year.
About 42,000 miles a year, according to what we told the IRS, and that is completely true.
Absolutely, and I spend most of the time my own self driving those miles.
All right.
He does, indeed, and I spend most of that time navigating.
Ah, okay. And, it's good to have one person doing each thing.
But. We actually get our mail in Austin. We spend our winters in the desert of deep southwest Texas in a place called Terlingua near Big Bend National Park, where we play a lot of venues for the winter travelers out there. And in the summer, we play all summer in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, near Great Smoky National Park, and then we tour in between.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your musical backgrounds, how you got interested in this stuff. Kind of throwback here.
Well, I started writing songs when I was about 20 years old, and I lived mostly in the western half of the United States growing up as a kid, and I was in Iowa briefly in 1999.
Whereabouts in Iowa?
In Redfield. I was actually staying with my cousin and the family down there, and a great big hello and to Uncle Keith and Aunt Bonnie and Teresa and David, cousin Dave. They're all listening right now to the show on the radio in Redfield, Iowa, and that's where the family farm is. My great great grandfather actually came to Illinois in 1803 from Ireland, and settled there and farmed there, and then the family farm has been in Iowa since 1910.
Wow!
So it's good to be back, and you know we're ancestrally, you know, the roots of my people come from, and it's also part of the roots of my songwriting comes from that very thing being tied to the soil and tied to the life of the land. You know, that way.
So was there music in your family when you were growing up, John? Was there music in your family when you were growing up?
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh. My mom and sister both played with me in a bluegrass band. And we played for little dances and you know, occasional, in a coffee shop as a growing up. And for our school, we would come down and play for them in the school.
All right.
So I was in a family band when I was a kid, yeah.
And Maria, what's your background?
My father's family was actually from Johnson City, Tennessee, so I have deep roots in Appalachia, and I grew up loving this music. And I've been playing guitar since I was about 12 or so, but gave it up to have a life in journalism, and I graduated from a communications department much like this one. This is a beautiful studio, by the way, listeners, here at KUNI. And I worked for the New York Times and edited magazines and wrote a couple books. And about 7 years ago, my life changed, and there really wasn't anything else I wanted to do but play music full time. John and I met at the Kerrville Folk Festival, which is our tribe and our spiritual home for this music. And we want to give a shout out to all the Kerrverts, as we're called, folkies around the country. The Kerrville Folk Festival is the oldest continuously operating folk festival in America. It's, I believe, it started in 1972, was founded by Rod Kennedy, who passed away just a few days ago.
And it's 18 days long.
At age 84. And the festival, all of us who are involved in the festival are very grateful to Rod for his contribution to our lives and to folk music in America. The festival is now 18 days long. It involves an enormous campground scene that goes pretty much 24 hours a day. We have a camp there called Camp Caffeine. We serve free coffee, and we take the 18 days of that fest. We play some music, but we do a lot of listening. We sort of turn our camp into a little venue and really enjoy all the wonderful songwriters that come and play for us there.
All right. We'll go back to some music in just a few seconds, but let me remind you, you're listening to The Folk Tree on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One, and we're hearing live music from John Hogan and Maria Moss, and you can find them online at johnhoganmusic.com, and John is J-O-N, Hogan, H-O-G-A-N, so that's johnhoganmusic.com. And, well, let's hear some more songs. And I'm not going to talk to you between the next couple songs, so you can just introduce them yourselves.
Well,
should we play some Scorch Folk, John?
Yes, I believe we should. This song is called Reuben's Train.
We're going to play a Carter Family song for you now. We're great fans of the Carter Family. And this is a song that is said to have brought Sarah Carter and her long-lost love, Coy Bay, back together when she played it on the radio and dedicated it to him.
Coy Bay, yes, indeed. They were playing on the radio from the time of about 1934 or so until 1941. They played for the high-powered radio stations that were broadcasting out of Mexico on XELO, and their program was picked up and broadcasted by XERA as well. The Carter family actually lived from 1934 to 1941 in San Antonio, Texas, mostly. Occasionally, they would travel back to Mesa Springs, Virginia. But for the most part, they really did live in San Antonio and in Texas. And I like to let people know that because not a lot is remembered of the early pioneers of roots country music. But what is remembered is generally inaccurate. So I tried to point out that, like, you know, well, yes, the Carter family were most definitely from Virginia, and they most definitely played old-time country music, and they most definitely did play it on the radio in Texas. So
they actually visited Jimmy Rogers when he was living in Kerrville. And there's a Jimmy Rogers festival at Shriner University every September in Kerrville that we always go and play.
I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes.
Here we go.
One, two, three. Better for us both had we never in this wide and wicked world had ever met. But the pleasure we both seem to gather, I am sure love I'll never forget. I am thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over. Chain has been broken, leaving me with a sad and aching heart. I am thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. I am thinking tonight of her only, and I wonder if she ever thinks of me. Will you say to the strangers around you, a poor heart that you've broken lies here? I am thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. I am thinking tonight of
John Hogan and Maria Moss performing live in Iowa Public Radio's studios. And if you want to find them on the internet, johnhoganmusic.com. That's John with no H in it, J-O-N-H-O-G-A-N music.com. And they also have a Facebook page. I believe you look for Hogan and Moss on Facebook.
That is right. And we love likes on the Facebook page, and we love to make friends and stay in touch with folks. Facebook is one of our true homes. It's how we stay in community with lots of folks.
All right. Now, I can remember when there really wasn't an internet and the life of traveling musicians. I was there, but I can't understand how it was possible. I spent lots of time leaving phone messages for people and them leaving phone messages for me. And
oh yes, I can imagine, and I don't know if it would have been possible for there to be traveling musicians that could be successful, like we would think of it being successful, without at least a telephone.
That's
so
true.
So it was the telephone, the radio, and the phonograph that helped create that scenario. Yeah. You know?
I think part of it is there are far more of us out there who are living this life and on a mission to play for as many people as we can. And for us, it's a sense of spreading the gospel of old-time folk music and the old mountain true country music, which we feel is an antidote to some of what you hear on commercial radio.
Can you kind of put into words what the attraction of this music for you is? Is that possible to do?
I would say that what the attraction for old time music for me is really deep, and going back to my childhood and listening to my mother play her mother's and her grandmother's 78s of Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family and other old time musicians, and so that had a profound effect, I think, on me, and it helped influence my likes and dislikes when it comes to what sounds good in music.
Yeah. For me, I think it's authenticity and its connection with what it is to be an American, which is to be an immigrant from somewhere. This music, most of the old-time songs from Appalachia came from the British Isles in one form or another. And the songs kind of flourished in isolation for many decades and took on a life of their own. And then when the songs came out of the mountains in the late 1920s, when the recording industry began on wax cylinder, people were able to discover the connections between these songs and the old European songs. And just for me, there, when I listen to modern music, and of course the book Invisible Republic by Grell Marcus has helped me quite a bit to discover and understand the connections between these old songs and modern music. And that was kind of a rambling answer.
No,
like some songs.
That's fascinating. And obviously you guys are both historians of the music as well as musicians. And those
John very much so. He is really my teacher. He's a scholar of this music.
Yeah.
I think we're going to play one that he wrote right now that has some relevance to his Irish heritage and his connection to the land here, coming from farmers in Iowa.
It's called Dig and Dine, and it's about the Irish potato famine of 1845.
While the wind howled at the door, dig and dine, dig and dine, the lowly spud more golden than the wheat. Dig and dine, the lowly spud, without it none would eat. In the year of 1845, dig and dine, in the fog there came a wretched fog which killed the fog and filled the spud with blood. With the runs we dug, and no help come from the British crown. So in the town there came a blood of the old and the young with typhus sump, and the bugs that clung, and the heads were hung, and the hands were wrung with eviction numb, and the winter come. Dig and dine, while in London town, though shouted down, roared down low, Connell in the House of Commons. Great God, gentlemen, the future of Ireland's in your hands. Will you simply sit and watch it fall? Dig and dine. Dig and dine. The lowly spud more golden, and the wheat began dying. The lowly spud, without it none would eat. In the year of 1846, began dying. Folks had to tell from their candle wicks, even Indian corn tack hard as bricks, which came by boat from America. I soon took me brothers and my sisters to stay on the coffin ships to Canada, where they all died of typhoid anyway. Mostly we just starved to death and begged them all to our very last breath. Please don't take our grain away. Leave the old ship with us just yesterday. The soldiers steered and charged his load. Well, they buried us down, we dropped in the road, riding this spud that we once loved so. Dig and dine, dig and dine. The lowly spud more golden than the wheat. Dig and dine, the lowly spud, without it none would eat. In the year of 1847, dig and dine. 1 million souls had gone to heaven since I hoped for some reward from the lying cruelty of the landed lord. The incompetent hand of the boatswain's mate, at a queen's command by a soldier's hate, at the greener's soul with the stomachs empty, at the British plan to allow no sympathy, no aid, no shelter, substantial size. Well, 1 million more before our eyes, we'll see no more their native shore. I once lived 8 million that they lived just for. I tried to murder our country and butcher our soul, but we'll not stand for that to be a next time. Spud more golden than the wheat. Dig and dine, the lowly spud, without it none would eat. Dig and dine, the lowly spud more golden than the wheat. Dig and dine, the lowly spud, without it none.
So much for having us, Karen. This is just delightful. Okay, I'll play another song. Would you like to play the first country song ever recorded?
I would love to play the very first country song ever recorded.
Could you tell about this one while I get this other little instrument over here?
In 1923, in a shoe shop in Atlanta, Georgia, that was currently at the time in between owners, they held auditions and recording sessions for the Victor Recording Company. And they had hundreds of people come from all around Atlanta to try out for and to be considered to be part of the Victor Recording Company's new extension of music into the roots music, into the old-time or hillbilly music, as they were calling it. And so they had this fella named Fiddlin' John Carson, and he did a song called Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane, and they put it on, they put the B-side on as The Old Hen Cackled and the Rooster's Gonna Crow. And then they sent it up to the manufacturer and put it in the catalog, and they had the fellow who ran the local music shop show up to the old-time fiddlers convention, and he showed up and pointed a phonograph horn at the assembled old-time fiddlers and the audience there, and played Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane and sold 3,000 copies in half an hour. So when the national sale of Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane reached 500,000 copies 9 months later, they invited Fiddlin' John back to New York City to re-record the numbers, because they were so embarrassed at the poor quality of the original recordings. It single-handedly proved to the record companies that rural music could be sold to a rural audience. One-third of the people who owned the album owned a phonograph. Two-thirds of the people who bought Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane did not even own a record player to play it on. So this is the very first country song ever, and the very first country hit ever. And
So if you don't like what's coming out of Nashville today, you can blame this song. Phil and John Carson.
It started everything.
This is the original country number one hit.
Little old log cabin in the lane.
Here we go. One, two, three. Now I'm getting old and feeble and I cannot work no more. That rusty bladed hoe I've laid to rest. Andy, Mr. Andy, Mrs., they're asleeping side by side. Their spirits now roaming with the blessed. Things have changed about the place now, and the young ones, they're gone. You'll never hear them singing in the cane. But the only friend that's left here is that little dog of mine and the little old log cabin in the lane. Oh, the chimney's falling down and the roof's all caved in. Let's in the sunshine and rain. But there's angels watching over me when I lay down to sleep in my little old log cabin in the lane. To climb the hill, the fences, they're gone to decay. And the pond is all dried up where we used to go to mill. Seems the creek has turned and flowed another way. Well, I ain't got long to stay here, what little time I've got. I try to live contented while remain, until death shall call at dog and me to find a better home than a little old log cabin in the lane. Oh, the chimney's falling down and the roof's all caved in. Let's in sunshine and rain. But there's angels watching over me when I lay down to sleep in my little old log cabin in the lane. Oh, the chimney's falling down and the roof's all caved in. Let's in the sunshine and rain. But there's angels watching over me when I lay down to sleep in my little old log cabin in the lane. Yes, there's angels watching over me when I lay down to sleep in my little old log cabin in the lane.
I'm Bob Doerr, driving the Blues Bus down Blue Avenue.
This is the World Cafe in our session.
I'm Mark Simmet. Time now for our live set from the Iowa Band.
Eclectic music and live performance from around the world and around the corner. Iowa Public Radio's Studio One. You're listening to The Folk Tree here on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One, and what we've been hearing before those announcements, John Hogan and Maria Moss performing in the room called Studio One. You can find them on the internet at John Hogan Music, J-O-N-H-O-G-A-N Music. hoganandmoss.com or on Facebook at Hogan and Moss. And they're not doing any gigs in Iowa this time. They're on their way back from Minnesota to Austin, Texas. So perhaps we'll get you back performing other places in Iowa.
We would love that. We enjoyed the trip up here very much. We love the people that the private house concert we played in Minnesota, and also it was Prairie Wind Folk and Bluegrass Association from Bruce Bolt in Windham, Minnesota, that brought us up here, and he's enthusiastic about helping us find other gigs in this area, and we'd just love to come back and play here.
All right. I just wanted to say, too, this is sort of lost on the radio audience, but you guys really look like you wouldn't look too out of place in the 1930s, although I'm not sure about the cowboy boots, Maria.
People do say that. We shop a lot of thrift stores and vintage places as we travel around the country, and John is a great collector of fedoras. He has all kinds of rules about our band. No ball caps, no jeans, no running shoes, no t-shirts. He's a formal sort of guy in his tie and vest, okay, like they were in the 1930s.
And you do sometimes play with a larger aggregation.
We do. Including both upright and washtub bass, fiddle, mandolin. Of course, Maria plays banjo, drums for some shows.
Uh-huh. And some of that can be heard on your recordings.
Yes.
Some of the bigger ensemble.
It absolutely can.
All right. I'm going to ask you to do like two more songs. And
thank you so much.
Thanks again for coming. During your second song, I will sneak back into the other control room. So
I understand.
That'll be it. Thanks again.
Okay, thank Karen. You. Thank you so much.
And we'll tell you about both of them. This song, this is a song that actually the lyrics go back several hundred years in Europe. The traces of these lyrics can be found in Romantic poetry of the late 18th century. And John based his version on the one that was recorded by a fellow named Clarence Ashley.
In 1929 for Columbia Records.
Yeah. Thank you. I knew you were going to get that one right. And this song, by the way, as well as Reuben's Train, is on both of the CDs that we have available right now, if anyone's interested. This song is called Cuckoo.
Pretty bird, and she warbles as she finds, and she never hollers cuckoo till the 4th day of July. Jack of diamonds, Jack of diamonds, oh, I know you from old. You got my poor pockets of their silver and their gold. So high, so I can watch over. Willie goes flashing by. As Willie goes flashing by, I'm gonna build me a log cabin and just watch him flash on by. Cuckoo sees a pretty bird and she warbles as she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo till the 4th day of July. Oh, cuckoo sees a pretty bird and she warbles as she flies, and she
This song is called Laramie, and this is our last song today for you, and we're really honored to have been here. Again, hello to the family on the old home place out there in Redfield on the 1910 farm. You've stayed in my thoughts, and in my heart, no matter how far I've traveled, there's always been a little piece of the heartland that goes with me wherever I go.
I look forward to meeting you, Uncle Keith and Aunt Bonnie, our Iowa family.
It's given me the strength to be able to write the truth about some things, and this is one of those songs. Broken bones, and yet I lie.
I hear, though, a grown man battered. Still in the dark, I'm not alone. Lay me my head down in the heather. The way I'm dying, tied to a fence post in the cold. So mother, when they tell you how your Matthew suffered, think not to speak or rave and cry. Oh, when I closed my eyes, I saw us walking in golden robes up to the sky. Lay me my head down in the heather. Lay me my head down soft and low. Think not to speak of the way I